Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Mike, but not Mike and Linda today. Linda is not here with us, but I do have two special guests in the studio with me. I've got my daughter, Tracy, and my son-in-law, Louie, who have been in ministry for many years. As a matter of fact, when I was a junior high pastor, my daughter and my son-in-law, they worked together with us in junior high ministry, and eventually I turned the junior high ministry over to Louie. He became the junior high pastor. He moved on from there, and he's since then, there's a long story, of course, between here and I'm giving you a thumbnail sketch, but he's now pastoring Denver Calvary, and they're out for a visit. So I'm going to give you the phone number of the station since, you know, Linda normally does that. I hope I could do it right. She's the one, that's her job. I'll give you the phone number and let you know how you could contact us. But really, feel free. We're going to be continuing in on where we left off in Ephesians. We're going to eventually work up to those marriage verses. And, you know, we've got a lot to say here. But if you have some questions for us, comments, maybe you've got some questions for Tracy and Louie today, you feel free to call in. And the number here is area code 208-377-3790. That's right here at the station. If you call that number, you will get the radio station and be on the air with us. That's our first choice, is that you would actually be on the air with us so that we could dialogue a little bit if you have a question or comment. I don't, you know, the text, it's okay, but I don't get to exactly always get what you're looking for, what your question is precisely, unless we get to talk a little bit. Again, that number is 208-377-3790. We also have, you could log into our Facebook page, and you can follow us on Facebook and even text in. I'll be trying to look with the Facebook text. And, you know, Linda's got the church phone. Normally, we let you text us at the church phone. But if you want to text us on the church phone, you'll be talking to Linda today because she's not in the studio. Anyway, maybe before we get going, I should introduce to you our guests and let you know I'm really proud of my daughter and son-in-law. They've been in ministry for many years. My daughter Tracy is here in studio with me.
Hi.
For some reason that keeps going crooked there. And her husband Louie, who we've known forever. Of course, they've given me some grandkids. I'm thankful for that too. So I don't know if there's anything in particular you guys would like to share before we get into our text today.
No, we just we're thankful that we get to be on air with you today. You've been doing this now for how many years? You've been plugging away.
And the radio or in ministry?
On the radio.
On the radio, I don't know, maybe we're going on 3 years. I lose track of time, too.
Right, and I think out of those 3 years, ever since when we come and visit, a lot of times we're here for vacation, just want to rest. But this time around, I know Tracy really wanted to come and be part and join you guys, so we're glad to be here.
Very good. Okay, now listen, our main text, I got to get this a better tripod. Here, I'll just leave it crooked for you. That'll keep it interesting. Our main text has, we started out in Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verse 15 and 17. And if you remember, I'll back up a little bit. What we're looking for is we're looking for relationship verses. And we are trying to put together a sheet of verses that will help married couples just practice proper relationship according to the scripture. And so Linda put together a majority of them, and as we fine-tune them, because she knows the verses we use when we do counseling, I've added and I've fine-tuned it. This next verse that we have already started, I say next, but we've already started, let me just read to you to get the foundation. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, and Linda chose the NIV, so let me just read it to you from the NIV. Be careful, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, what I've emphasized in the past, the last couple of times we were, we were on the air with this, is I emphasized knowing what the Lord's will is. But it's funny, every time you read your Bible, something else jumps off at the page at you. Just as I was reading it a second ago, what's jumping off at me is just not as unwise, but wise, making the most of your opportunity because the days are evil. A lot of people don't think there's a dumb way to live. You know, it's like you can really live your life in a wise way, or you can live your life in a stupid way, in a dumb way. And so the Bible is very clear cut about this kind of thing. And what the Bible makes clear is the wise way is the Lord's way. You want to live your life in a wise way, live and understand what the Lord's will is. Now, by the way, Louis and Tracy, they're in studio with us right now. You're not used to doing this, but just let me know when you got something to say, because I tend to grab a verse and run with it. If you've got something, either raise your hand or make eye contact, let me know, and I'll just turn the camera to you, and it's all yours.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I just tend to run with it. So, okay, so we start with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, and then to get proper context, what we ended up doing is we backed all the way up to chapter 4, verse 25, and we finally worked our way back into chapter 5, and I do believe we've had a few interruptions with, like, interviewing guest speakers. We've had a Mission Aviation Fellowship couple out last time we were together, and we interviewed them, but I think we covered the first couple of verses of Ephesians 5, but for flow, let me just read it. I really want to look at especially the first four verses, actually five. I'm looking so much here. It says, and I'm reading from the New King James now, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." And I do remember covering this, that Linda was saying one of the translations would say, "Be followers of God." "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We did talk about this, that the way to love is to give yourself, to sacrifice yourself. The absolute picture of what love was God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the greatest picture of what love is sacrificing yourself, or giving up your will for another, giving up your wants, your pleasures, giving up of yourself for the sake of another. And Jesus, of course, did that. Now, we're going to read verse 3. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting of saints." Oh, yeah, even reading that last phrase, "as of is fitting of saints," I'm remembering, I think the last time we were in this text, I called it things that are not fit for Christians, something like that, those things that are out of place in a Christian's life. And of course, we talked about sexual sin and uncleanness. You know, remember the saying people like to use, cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's really not in the Bible, because this uncleanness has nothing to do with if your hands are dirty enough or not. Of course, it depends on what, if you're talking symbolically. It's talking about immorality of all kinds, this uncleanness. And covetousness, it's funny, I want to look at a list here as I'm looking ahead at verse 4 and 5. There's a list of sins that a lot of people would rank, this thing here is a big sin, and that thing over there, that's no big deal at all. But God ranks all of these things in the list we're about to go into as sin and not fitting for saints. As a matter of fact, "but fornication and all cleanness." You know what? I've got all my other translations open. What was the other translation I thought was good? The NIV is interesting. "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse jesting, which are out of place." There are some things that are out of place for a Christian. You know, I know when I first got saved, I don't know if you guys had to deal with this sort of thing, but when I first got saved, I was always just rowdy, and I'd say the first thing that comes to my mind, and I love a good joke, and I love sarcasm, and the first thing that comes to mind, I say it, and I'd hang out with Christians, and I turned it into a crazy party, because I would try to be the life of the party, and I'd always throw around jokes, and I'd say things that I should not have said. And I'd always, as a brand new Christian, I'd always leave the fellowship at the end of the day feeling like, you idiot. I could think of about a dozen things I said that I shouldn't have said. Now, I'm getting better. I'm not perfect now, but I'm getting a little bit better, and I'm learning. Do you have that problem, Louis, as far as, like, I know in the pulpit, many times I use humor that I have to realize that's not fitting, and I've really curbed my humor. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that sort of thing.
Well, I think the way that it relates to me most is how I joke around with my children, my kids. And I want to make sure I'm always appropriate, not just behind the pulpit, not just in public, but also with my kids. I want to be sensitive to them. And there's an aspect of this. I think it's important that we recognize how God sees us. And it should change the way we see the way we live and the things we do. A verse that came to my mind was 1 Peter 2:9. And Peter is writing to the believers there, and he says that you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people. And what is that we're supposed to do? He says we're supposed to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his light. And sometimes there's these aspects of our lives, our course jesting, our patterns of behavior, that God just has called us out of that. And we're not to live there any longer and walk there any longer. And I think it's important that we always keep that on the front of our minds.
Right. Now, I know you're at the stage of raising kids where, you know, we're empty nesters. We don't have to deal with that anymore.
Right.
And it's funny, there's times I hear kids say things that I go, oh my gosh, do their parents know that they talk like that? You know, so I'm wondering, is that been a challenge? Because the way the kids talk at school or on the playground or out, just the music they listen to. We talked about that on this show a lot as far as the entertainment, the movies that we're watching, and the music you listen to. You know, even though you got kids being raised in a Christian home, I bet you that's been a challenge even for you, huh?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Tracy, what your thoughts are on this with the kids and the things that we allow in our home to influence them. What are some things in your mind that as parents is a priority to not only do we want to enforce a standard of living that's biblical, but how do we influence the kids in that way so that they follow suit? Is there anything that comes to your mind?
Nope. put her on the spot. Well,
I just remember when Maddie was about 2 or 3 years old, and all of a sudden she would walk around and put her hand on her hip and say, "Good grief, good grief." And I was like, where did she get that from? And I realized I was trying to tame down when I was upset with her, and I was saying, "Good grief." I don't even know where I got that from. But I realized how much of a parrot kids are, and that you don't realize sometimes what comes out of your mouth until it comes out of your kid's mouth. And you're like, oh, I didn't know I say that.
Yeah, and for our listeners, just to let you know, good grief isn't cussing. you know, it's not that that's a bad word. It's just the point is, you know,
right.
I mean, we
just
find our kids will copy
me.
Our mannerism, our expressions. Even I'm sure you probably put your hand on your hip when you did it, right? Yeah, that's the
I
way.
Don't
the,
know.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that sometimes you put your hand on their bottom. That's what you got to do. Okay, listen, let me keep reading here because there's some important stuff about this whole feel of what's not fitting for a Christian. And I was reading from the NIV, but there's several, you know, I've been really enjoying the Holman Christian Standard Bible, Phillips Translation. Even now and then I'll stoop as low as reading from the Message, you know, but some of these translations really help to give insight of things you normally wouldn't catch. So again, it says then, among you, there must not be a hint of immorality, any kind of impurity, a greed, because of these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse jesting. Now, there's the thing that got my stories going because mm-hmm. I could get into coarse jesting a lot and foolish talk. But rather thanksgiving. And now, you know, I don't know if there's any listeners out there who maybe you want to call in and talk about this or ask some questions, because I think one of the big challenges is where do you draw the line with your children? Mm-hmm. Where do you draw the line in your home? Because your home should be the highest standard. However you draw the line in the home, you'll probably be a little bit lax, more lax out there. It goes on to say, crossing translations up here. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, let me go back to my olive tree text, because there were some things I wanted to talk about in here that really stand out to me. It talks about what will eliminate you or what will disqualify you for heaven. That's pretty serious. It says, you know, let me read it from the New King James now. For this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who's an idolater will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. I mean, that's saying you're not going to go to heaven if you're like this, okay? Now, some would say, well, of course, if you're a fornicator, I mean, you're having sex outside of marriage, then you shouldn't go to, you couldn't go to heaven. But look at it says covetous man. It says who's an idolater. Okay, there are many Christians who would probably never dream of having a sexual affair, whether it's outside of marriage or before marriage, but they have no problem with being covetous. You see it, you want it. You know, folks, we've got to really get the full picture here of what how God looks at things. As a matter of fact, there was a cross-reference. Let me find where it was. 1 Corinthians 6:9 that I wanted to look at here, because there's a more complete list that some consider are the big sins and some consider is no big deal. Listen to this. Here's a kind of a parallel passage in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And now he's going to tell you what is unrighteous. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, that's putting anything before God in your life that you would worship or that you would seek after above God or before God, nor adulterers, that's sex with someone who you're not married to when you're married, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Now, wait, let me just stop there. That's just verse 9. You notice today there's a big struggle among Christianity, and I don't know if you guys were prepared to talk about this, with the whole gay agenda.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of people talking about, oh, I can't believe it, how they're pushing the gay agenda out there right now and how they're trying to make homosexuality right. And I don't know, as you as a listener, what you think about that. God does call it a sin. And he actually lists two different kinds, homosexuals nor sodomites. Matter of fact, I was looking at the word fornication in the Greek earlier today, and I noticed that it actually includes homosexuality. Let me pull up that definition again. It says adultery, fornication. Here's the Greek definition of fornication in the Greek dictionary. It means adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, intercourse with close relatives, intercourse with a divorced man or woman. I mean, this meant it had a bigger definition than we normally put to it today, okay? Now, I want to get this clear before I say what I want to say here, because I do believe that the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. But I want you also to see the kinds of sins that are right up alongside homosexuality and lesbianism, which God also considers sin. Look at verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners, they won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So it's interesting how you and I might pick and choose which sins are worse than others. But if you're a thief, my friend, if you steal, now I don't know how you rank stealing. Some people go, well, I just take some extra supplies from work. I'm sure it's okay. I work there. I can take stuff home. And, you know, everyone draws the line of what's stealing, what's not. You know, when you take something that doesn't belong to you, it's stealing. Okay? So it's saying that a thief will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Or a covetous, someone who's always going, I want that. You know, I think it's the 9th commandment, isn't it? That thou shalt not covet. You know, and so you're not supposed to covet. And yet we will only pick and choose those sins that disgust us. You know, I've heard it once said that that our sins always look worse on someone else. You know, and it's easy to look at other people's sins and be totally disgusted at it. And our sins, we have excuses and rationale for what our sins are. So we could go down this list, and it's important to realize that sin is sin. Okay, and whether you have a sin that you look at and you go, that is disgusting. But there are things that you do, perhaps, that God looks at as sin. And my friend, you've got to be willing to look at that and accept it and realize, you know, I need to repent. And chances are quite high that we've all got things we've got to repent of.
Well, I think contextually, when you look at 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is not addressing the Corinthians outside of the church. He's addressing the believers in the church.
Right.
This is
right.
for the church, warning them, hey, this should not be in your life.
Right.
And I kind of cut you short because I know you were going to jump in verse 11. This was you. This right. is what God's drawn you from.
Right.
And just like I mentioned before, that there are things that God saves us from. He pulls us out of darkness into light. And there's tendencies that we have to crawl back to some of these things, to run back to some of these things. And so I definitely think there's an aspect of taking inventory. Paul, back to Ephesians 5, Paul says, hey, imitate me. Don't allow these things in your life. Remove them from your life. And I think it's always an aspect of wisdom for us to have self-examination, self-reflection, because sin always looks so much worse in other people's lives than it does in our own.
Right, right. And yeah, and you're right. I wanted to say something about verse 11 there, because here's the dividing line. You know, some people think, oh no, I've done that sin. Well, Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, you've done this sin. But he says, you know, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, such were some of you.
Right.
A real key is, are you practicing that now?
Right.
Are you living that way? So, in one sense, I really want to heighten our sensitivity to sin and make you aware, as our listeners, that there's no excuse. I shouldn't be living in sin. I need to separate myself from that. But in the other sense, I want to take the guilt off of you of things you've done in the past that you've confessed to the Lord, and He's cleansed you from them. Because that's what it says in verse 11, but you were like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord. And so, my friend, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I almost turned that around. And so you got to realize there is constant cleansing available to the believer. You can be cleansed by confessing your sin to the Lord, but there is no excuse for the Christian to be living in any of these things. And I would say even covetousness. It's funny how some sins have become more acceptable in the church. You know, I've heard it said, for instance, gossip. Gossip is really acceptable in the church. All you have to do is make it a prayer. You gather in the prayer meeting and you say, oh, Lord, I pray for Mike Sasso, who's been struggling with such and such, and he's been really tempted by this and that. And all you have to do is just mention somebody in a prayer meeting as you're praying for them, and now you could excuse your gossip. Don't do that, folks. You know, if you need to do that, just say, my friend, you know the name, Lord. I lift up my friend to you. You know who they are. And they're struggling with sexual sin, or they're struggling with this, that, or the other thing. And so there are certain sins we've learned to incorporate into Christian life, such as gossip or covetousness, depending on what, I think maybe the health and wealth people, the positive confession, name it and claim it people, would be very susceptible for covetousness because they're trained. If you see it, you want it, you could claim it, name it, claim it, and it's almost like you're trained to be covetous. So anyway, the big dividing line is what you were and what you are now, okay? Any of these things which are not fitting for saints listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, or we're back at Ephesians now, Ephesians 5, verse 3-5, it's talking about things that are unacceptable, but I don't want you to live in constant guilt if you've repented. If you've repented of your sin and if you've confessed your sin, ask Him to help you to stay holy, stay pure, keep walking with Him. But if you haven't, if we're talking to somebody right now who I've put my finger on it, or the Word of God is, the Holy Spirit's put His finger on it, you need to repent, then confess your sin and repent. Now I hear music sneaking up in the background here. I know our time is up. I told Louis and Tracy our time goes really quick. But we're gonna be back here every day for the next couple days and talk about this a little bit further and maybe continue on in the text. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Lord bless you. I'm trusting God's speaking to you.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at ccEagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to You.